I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center. Welcome to our daily communion meditation. For today, we're talking about laughter. Laughter, one of the themes that you'll see if you study your Bible diligently, you'll see this throughout the Bible, is God wants to fill us with laughter. He wants us to go about our day with joy. And laughter is actually one of the best forms of medicine. We're going to be taking a look at a passage from my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, talking about some of the health benefits of laughter as well. So we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do what we call our four fundamentals, a time to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion for today. Now, real quick, just daily communion. Why is this so important? In our program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, daily communion is the most important thing. Daily communion is the most important thing. It helps us to abide in Christ. Jesus says, as often as you take this, as often as you do this, remember me. It helps us to abide in Christ so that our lives produce fruit. And daily communion can help us to keep position in him, to remain in his love, to keep abiding in him so that our lives produce fruit. So let's get started with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And I've been adding a new part into the prayer here lately, if I get my words out. Father, we're asking for you to send people our way today. Send us opportunities to do good. Send us people that need you. And keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes. And to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And this is where we talk about our four fundamentals. And remember, you got to bring the fun. You got to bring some fun and excitement and energy into these fundamentals. Bring some laughter into these fundamentals. You got to make them fun. You got to wake up every day saying, you know what? Something good's going to happen today. Something good is going to happen today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And we get our day, as soon as your feet hit the floor, you get going and position in the light. Then we're going to start magnifying that light. We're going to stay tuned in for God's leading and direction today. And then we're going to take action and do the things that we know to do and do them together in partnership with God, trusting in him, full confidence in him, that he's right there with us, helping us to execute. So our first one, getting positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either the lights are on or they're off. There's no in between. To be positioned in the light is number one, to be positioned in humility. Because we get positioned in the light through forgiveness, through the forgiveness of sins. But we have to humble ourselves first. The humble get grace from God. Those who humble themselves will be given grace. So we got to humble ourselves. The humility of saying, you know what? I need your help, God. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. And we receive that forgiveness and grace from him that's available in Christ. And then we begin to let it flow through us. We begin to forgive ourselves and give ourselves that same grace God has given us. And then it begins to flow out of us where we begin to walk in this with other people. We begin to give them the same forgiveness and grace God has given us as well. And the motivation behind all of this was love. God's love was the motivation that started it all. And we receive that from him, just getting in there and experiencing his love. As you take communion every day, it's going to help you to abide and remain in his love each day. And you're going to begin to experience his love more and more. And then it's just letting it flow through you the same way, just effortlessly flowing through you, where you begin to love yourself the way that he's loved you. And you begin to let that flow through you to other people. And all of this is received from God by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is gratitude and praise. One of the greatest things we can do just to keep the lights on all day is just stay positioned in gratitude and praise. Now, we can turn the lights off. We could get into pride. We could get into bitterness and unforgiveness, looking out for ourselves rather than loving other people. We could get into complaining and venting mode. And as soon as we do that, the lights go off. Kicks us out. It's on or off. And what I would tell you is it's not worth it. It's not worth it to step out of this, because in the light, God has given us everything he has. It's all available in Christ. He's put everything he has in Christ. His spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace and joy are available to flow through you today. His mind and wisdom, the answers that you need for today, are found in the light. His health and energy can flow through you. The Apostle Paul says, I worked harder than anybody. But it wasn't me. It was God's energy that so powerfully worked within me. God's time, God's finances, everything he has is available in Christ. And then we got to begin to magnify the light, our second fundamental. We're going to get positioned in it first, and then we're going to magnify it. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're all magnifying something every single day based on what we're focused on, what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're meditating on in our hearts. We're all focused on something every day. And it's just choosing to magnify the light and to make it bigger or greater. As that light begins to expand, we begin to expand the capacity. We give God a bigger area to work in and to flow through in our lives. As we magnify the light, it also gets God's word and his promises and his love rooted and grounded and established in our hearts, so that we become more fixed and immovable and steadfast and consistent when the issues and problems of life are coming at us. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, just to give his word a higher place and a higher priority in our lives, to diligently study his word, to have it in our minds rolling over consistently, to have it in our mouths consistently. We can magnify his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ, that we have peace with God because of what Jesus did. We have his blessing and favor on our lives, and he wants to help us today. Sometimes we think we've missed it and God's mad at us and doesn't want to help us. But in this new covenant, our righteousness is found in Christ, and he wants to help today. He eagerly desires to help today. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We can magnify whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. And all the things that are going well, all the progress we've already made, all that God has already done in our lives and already done for us in Christ. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light and to make God bigger than the problems. Just choosing not to magnify the problems. We can acknowledge them. They're there. But you know what? God is so much bigger. He's so much greater than this. And he's got the answer. He's got the solution. But he does give us a choice. We could choose to magnify darkness, to just sit there and think about and roll over in our mind all the ways we've been wrong, all the evil things people have done to us, all the things that could have, should have, or would have happened, all the issues and problems we're facing today. And you've probably had this experience. The more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, the more it grows bigger on the inside of you. You can feel that pressure and the size of the problem beginning to increase on the inside. We could stay stuck dwelling on the past, so we're not willing to move forward today. We could be so caught up in worrying about the future that we get paralyzed today and are not willing to move forward. We could just be stuck in our own minds, just trying to figure it all out rather than trusting and relying on God. But there is a better way. That's why we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness, we're magnifying darkness. Everything feels heavy and oppressive, like all the weight and all the pressure is on you. Might feel hopeless, like you're trapped or you're stuck, and your energy levels begin to diminish. It's like a black hole. It just begins to suck the energy out of you. Then there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, the confusion about which way to go. What's the right step to take? What do I do now? Then we're in this repeatedly, we get stuck in vicious cycles and bad patterns, and things just keep repeating over and over. But when we're in the light, and we begin to magnify the light, we start to experience these things at a greater and greater level. Number one, rest in your soul. And as you rest in your soul, God begins to go to work. When you rest, God goes to work. And all of a sudden, you get so much more present when you rest. And you become externally focused. And you become aware of all these things that are going on around you that you were oblivious to before. Some of the solutions that you need are right there in front of you, but we're in the darkness. We're internally focused rather than external. Everything feels free and easy and effortless because it's God doing the work. And all of a sudden, his energy begins to flow through you and your energy levels begin to rise up. You get that peace that surpasses all understanding begins to flow. That joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to equip you to function in his strength and ability. You've got hope in any and every situation. All of a sudden, these aha moments, these flashes of insights just come into your mind. And you know that you know that you know that you know. This is the step to take. This is the decision to make. This is the path to go. And as you stay positioned in this consistently, bad habits, bad patterns, vicious cycles just begin to break. And God begins to set virtuous cycles into motion in your life. As one win begins to compound on another, he begins to set you free to greater and greater levels. Now, the good news is, it only takes 1 second to turn around, because let's face it, we get off track sometimes. And this amazing gift of grace, it only takes 1 second to turn it around, to change your focus, to get right back into the light. Just the simple humility of recognizing, hey, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. Humbling yourself, coming before God, say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for worrying about that, for focusing on that, for meditating on that problem, that issue, the way that person wronged me. You receive that forgiveness. You forgive yourself. If there's anybody you need to reconcile with, you take that step. You get positioned in humility and forgiveness. And then you just start praising and thanking God for his steadfast, unfailing love that he just brings us right back in. You start magnifying him and praising him. And all of a sudden, you've turned it back around. And every time you get out, but you come back in, I feel like you come back better. It's been my experience. You get knocked out, but then you come back in. You come back better every single time because you're learning as you go. And that grace just begins to flow again. It's this truly amazing gift. And then we got to stay tuned in each day. Every day we got to stay listening for God's leading and direction because he's trying to lead us and guide us and teach us and train us. And so an action step today, just grab a pen and some paper and just ask something like the questions we're about to say here. God, what are you trying to show me today? Is there anything that you're really wanting me to get out of today? What's the most important thing you want me to get from you today? Is there anything I missed If so, would you please repeat it again? And he's so faithful, he'll do it every single time. He wants us to get it right. He eagerly desires us to get it right. And just stay tuned in for his leading and direction today. And whatever begins to come to your mind, just begin to write it down. Begin to record your journey with God. Recording your journey is one of the greatest things. I want to do some more training about recording our journey coming up sometime soon, because I think this is going to be a big key as we go into the year of 2022. Recording your journey is such a big thing. It builds such confidence and progress into your life. Just recording your journey every day. And then if you're ever unsure on what to do, which direction to go, you got questions on things, just ask. Just ask and then wait for him to show you. Wait for him to show you. Just have that patience to know, wait a minute, I asked. He's going to show me. He wants to show me. He desires to show me. And then you wait until you know. Every now and then, God will have some decisions where he says, you know what, this decision, I'm going to leave it up to you. You know what to do. Make a good decision. And there'll be times where he gives you that freedom to make your own decision. Just like all parents training their children, he wants us to grow up and be able to make good decisions on our own. So if you ever are seeking him for which direction to go and you're not getting an answer after a few days, then start to ask him, are you leaving this one up to me? And often he'll tell you, make a decision and I'm with you. I'll back it. We're partners. If you're about to make a big mistake, I'd let you know. Just like all parents would do for their children. All good parents. And then take an action. What do you know to do today? This is where I think it's important to make a plan with God for today. A plan with God for today. What do you know to do today? Maybe some administrative things, some things in your workplace, some things that you just know to do. Maybe you got a to-do list or things that you've been procrastinating on. And you got to do this together with God. God, what do you want me to do today? What's the most important thing that I get done today? And you just write out a few things. What's your list for today? Anything you've been procrastinating on, anything that keeps popping up in your conscience. And you start to take action today. You become a person of high levels of action. There's this balance in life of waiting until you know. But then once you know, you got to take action immediately. And we're going to do it together with God. Full confidence in him, with a willing heart, with a good attitude, trusting in him. He's right there with you. He's going to execute these things with you. And as you do this, that grace begins to flow through you and does something like turn you into a magnet. In the world of science, when electrical current flows through a wire, it turns it into a magnet. And as you do this and God's grace begins to flow through you, it begins to turn you into a magnet and begins to pull everything God has for you into your life. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It begins to magnetize you and just begins to pull things into your life. So let's take a look at laughter today. I'm going to read a section. This is coming from my book, Cracking Heaven's Code. Cracking Heaven's Code, the subtitle of that book is God's System for Restoring Abundant Health. God made our bodies to be able to be restored to abundant health. And so we're going to read a short section of that. Then we're going to take a look at some passages of scripture about laughter. So laughter, a Chinese proverb says this, a laugh makes you 10 years younger and worry turns your hair gray. Laughter can work wonders for your health. Jean Calmette, who lived to be 122 years old, was known for her humor. Laughter is often the best medicine, as the saying goes. And from the perspective of energy levels, laughter can offer healing properties to our organs and be beneficial for our overall health. In Chinese medicine, it tells us that anger causes stagnation, which can lead to tumors and cancer cells. But laughter increases the immune system's activity by increasing the number and activity of natural killer cells, as well as immunoglobulins that can help protect the body. Stress hormones, which constrict blood vessels and suppress immune system activity, decrease in the body as a result of laughter. Norman Cousins, who was an essayist and editor, cured himself of a fatal illness by watching comedy films. He was quoted as saying, "Laughter is a form of internal jogging. It moves your internal organs around and enhances respiration. It's an igniter of great expectations. Laughter can be a form of internal cleansing in that it can clean out our organs and possibly viruses out of our body. Now, something we talk about in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, is our heart contains something like our software programming for how our bodies function. It contains the programming that's running our body. And sometimes we can get viruses in that software. Viruses in the software, meaning lies that we're believing. And someone just asked me the other day, how do we clean these lies out of our heart? And actually, I think laughter is one of the greatest things that can clean out our lives, can clean out our hearts so that lies we're believing. And what happens if we have lies in our heart that we're believing? Those are areas where you're not seeing results. Those are areas where you have self-sabotage going on a lot of times, where you're just stuck in vicious cycles. And we can clean those out. Laughter is one of the ways to do that. And laughter comes from God, I believe. So let's take a look at some scriptures. Genesis 21:6. And Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. Who brought her laughter? God did. God brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. God was the source of the laughter. Now, this is talking about when she was about to have, or when she had the child of promise, when she had Isaac, the child that was promised to them. When God's promise was fulfilled, it brought laughter. When God's promise was fulfilled, it brought laughter. God was the source of it. Job 8:21. Job's going through a hard time, but he says, he will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Who's going to do it? God's going to once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Psalms 126, verse 2. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. They were filled with laughter because of the amazing things that God had done for them. Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:15. For the despondent, every day brings trouble, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Proverbs 31:25, talking about this godly wife, says she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. She laughs without fear of the future. Luke 6:21, God blesses you who are hungry now. This is coming from the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time, you will laugh. For in due time, you will laugh. So we're going to take communion over this. Just as a time of gratitude to God that he is the source of laughter and joy. And this laughter, when God fills us with laughter, makes our bodies healthier. All kinds of benefits that come from this. So, Father, we're just so thankful for you. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son so that we could have life. And life is being connected back to you. And you are the source of laughter and joy. You are the source of laughter and joy. And Father, we're asking you today, we see these scriptures, you will fill us with laughter. You'll fill our mouths with laughter and with shouts of joy because of the amazing things that you've done for us. Father, we're asking for you to fill our mouths and hearts with laughter and shouts of joy today, Lord, as you fulfill your promises to us. He says, in due time, now I believe now is the time, Lord, that you wanted to do this. Now is the time of your favor. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, take it. receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. And he is the source of laughter and joy. He's going to fill our hearts and our mouths with laughter and joy. Father, we thank you for this. In Corinthians, it says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is a big deal because in the case of a will or an estate or an inheritance, you have to proclaim the death to activate all of the benefits. As we take communion today, we're proclaiming his death to activate these benefits of laughter and joy in our lives and all the other benefits too, making them active and relevant and alive in our lives today. Father, we just thank you for this bread. It means so much. It is life. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We have this new covenant with God, this partnership with him. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing partnership with God. And I believe as you experience this, God begins to fill your heart and your mouth with laughter and joy. What's it going to do? It's going to help you to know him better, to know his heart and his kindness and his goodness and his love on a whole new level. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take a juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Making today a masterpiece. Stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying that light today. If you ever get off track, you turn it around quickly. You get right back in. Stay tuned in for his leading and direction today. And then take action. Do those things that you know to do. Trusting in him, full confidence in him. And as you do that, he's going to lead you one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. Hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.